don't know if you can tell, but I'm really excited today. It's Good Shepherd Sunday because I have lots of props. And a sheep headband. I'm actually wearing a sheep sweater, too. I can't really... Let's see. There you go. You can kind of see the sheep. I love sheep. They're so cute and fluffy, and they're actually really stupid. No joke. My second call was in a rural congregation, and I had this verified by a farmer that sheep are very silly, and, like, they can't really go backwards. So if they get stuck in a fence, you have to, like, pull them out. They fall over, and you gotta put them back up. They're cute, right? It's this timeless, beautiful image of that has been branded in Christianity throughout the ages. That God is our shepherd, right? The one who leads us to peaceful water and grazing pastures, guides us through treacherous valleys, and protects us with the staff. It's pastoral, huh? I'll stop. But anyway, I'm reading John this week a little closer, and this pit formed in my stomach. Because Jesus' image of a good shepherd starts out really cute and lovely, and then goes kind of sideways. There are these thieves and bandits, a gatekeeper, and strangers. And then Jesus starts talking about this voice. The sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they don't know the voice of a stranger. Wow. I really love the idea of being a sheep, but even as your hired, resident, holy person, I cannot tell you with confidence that I hear the voice of God on a regular basis. Or I can even describe to you what the voice of God sounds like. At all times. It's really hard to decipher the voice of God above all things, this invisible force that does not show herself very often. We're inundated with so many voices throughout our day. Voices that tell us we aren't good enough. Voices that pick apart our bodies and make us feel self-conscious. Voices that poke guilt and shame. Voices that tell us to be worried about headlines we hear, or the savings we have, or our jobs, our kids, our lives. I was in a training this week for the Faith Lutheran app, which you don't have yet. You can download. Just scan that QR code on the back. But the facilitator of this webinar shared that the average person will spend 4.7 hours a day using apps on their phone or device. That's 32 hours a week. That's a lot of time paying attention to voices that probably aren't God most of the time, right? Voices of Target or Costco, TikTok and Facebook, news, YouTube, email, and who knows what other rabbit holes we end up in. We're oversaturated with voices. So how can we be sure that one belongs to our good shepherd? Thankfully, the disciples are also stressed and confused by Jesus' metaphor. And so Jesus pivots a little and says, "Very truly, I tell you, I'm the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will go out and come in and find pasture." That's really weird. Jesus is calling himself an inanimate object here. But the more that I've sat with this week, the more I like it. This week, we closed on our house in Minneapolis. And it's amazing, really. It was only on the market 2 days before we had a solid offer. And while I feel relief that things are wrapping up and it's worked out really well, I'm really sad, too. The house was fine. It was really too small. We bumped into each other a lot. And you could only fit 4 people in the kitchen. But what makes me the saddest about leaving 572 36 and a half Avenue, Northeast Minneapolis, was the outside space. In our backyard, Mike had dug this patio, and we had these raised garden beds around it. We had a clothesline where we would hang up cloth diapers and our sheets in the summer. We had chickens by our garage. And we always planted these huge sunflowers that would, like, tower over everything. The best part about our backyard, our outdoor space, was the way that our neighbors ended up wandering onto our yard. The neighbors on the right had a little boy, Theo's age, and almost every night in the summer, the boys would chase each other from our yard into their yard into our yard. It was like just one big grassy space. And then our neighbors on the left, Wade, was the king of the fire pit. And so he had this fire pit, and it didn't matter how cold it was, he was out there with his fire. And if Theo saw him, he'd grab the s'more supplies and sit by Wade around the fire. Our backyard was magical. But the part, actually, of the outdoor space I've been thinking about this week is the front yard. Because in the front yard, we had a gate. We fenced in our yard for our dog, Roby, during the pandemic. Thank you, stimulus money. But we had this fence with these big cedar posts and, like, chicken wire in between the posts, so you could kind of see through it. And in the front yard, we had a cherry tree and some Fisher-Price plastic play stuff. But we didn't spend much time in the front because we had this magical backyard space with no boundaries. Until last May, when we all had COVID. Mike caught it first and was quarantined in the attic, and I, being newly pregnant, was left to quarantine parent Theo by myself and to, like, cook and keep things going. And Theo and I started to feel sick, but we were still testing negative. So we were stuck. And our tiny house started to feel very small. And I was desperate. Nauseated and lonely and overwhelmed, Theo and Roby the dog and I stumbled into our front yard and sat on the stoop. We pulled out the sidewalk chalk and the bubbles and the Tonka trucks, and I knew I could keep Theo safe in this enclosed fence space. And it felt good just to sit on the stoop and breathe a little fresh air, even though we were not up for much. And every day, unprompted, our neighbor Wade, the fire guy, would come over and stand by the fence and talk to us. Not long, maybe 10 minutes max. But that moment of connection over the fence felt like such a lifeline. This little bit of humanness in the midst of feeling so horrible. When Jesus refers to himself as a gate, he doesn't mean a barrier, a selective wall, or something to hide behind. Theologian Debbie Thomas writes, "Most of us left to ourselves don't associate gates with freedom. We think of bars and locks and alarms and enclosures. We imagine toddler gates and puppy training gates, prison gates and gated communities. But what if Jesus is a different kind of gate? A gate that opens out instead of closing in. Not the barrier itself, but an aperture in it. A place of release, movement, spaciousness, liberty. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." This passage is about life. Life that pushes across formidable boundaries. Life that flourishes in precarious places. Life that never denies the real threat of thieves, bandits, and strangers, and yet holds out the possibility of pasture, nourishment, protection, and rest. Life that perseveres, maybe even thrives in those valleys. Life that reaches through any opening it can find, however small, however fragile, however tenuous, and insists on generous self-giving. Now, Wade, in that week of COVID hell, saw his opening and he took it. Perhaps being a cancer survivor, he knew what it was like to be sick and isolated and alone. And he knew how we felt. And so he took time every day to check in on us. And I'm so grateful. You know, no metaphor can ever perfectly describe who God is for us. That's why we're given many, many, many images throughout Scripture to describe who God is and how much God loves us. And this image of God as a gate is a new one for me, but I like it. God is the one who provides protection when it is needed, and is also the one who will swing every barrier wide open to beckon us into life-giving pasture. And I wonder, what would it look like for us to treat the gates in our lives as potential openings to connection? A new perspective, a chance to create a wider welcome. Can we trust God to play the gatekeeper so we don't have to? What would it look like to slow down all the voices we let in and put a gate around what we consume so that we can hear God's voice a little clearer? Dear ones, may you rest in God's care today, trusting that as God's sheep, God indeed can do all of the maneuvering for us. Whether we go in or go out, we will indeed have what we need for today and tomorrow. Amen. Thanks be to God.